I won't tell anybody else in here that you're here, John. It's our secret. So good. Tim. Shelly. Wee ones. Good to see y'all tonight. As you can see, let me see if Larry can define what that on the screen means. Larry, tell the church what protective custody means in legal terms. Let's stick to let's be good tonight and stick to what it's supposed to be, okay? Nobody touches you. You're taken care of, protected, all that. Kind of a strange title, maybe. It might look like protective custody. But it goes along with one of my favorite psalms. I know some of y'all's probably favorite psalm is Psalm 91. And how that talks about that's what God does for us. He takes us into his custody and watches over us and protects us. And we don't leave his sight. He's got his eyes on us. And he's guarding us everywhere that we go. But it's a good thing. It's a good guarding. It's a good attention. It's a good eye on you. It's what we want. And so we're going to talk about that in Psalm 91, if you can be turning there, if you hadn't already found it. And this is a great psalm of just, if you need encouraging tonight, you know, lots going on in the world right now, a lot of violence, a lot of uncertainties, just a lot of stuff's happening. And if we focus on all the stuff in the world, we're going to become discouraged pretty easily, can't we? I mean, just watch the news. There's not much good news. And it looks very dark and very bleak. And that's why I think it's more important than ever that we depend on God for our lives right now in every area, that we give him our total life and quit trying to do it ourselves or let somebody else try to do it for us, but that we say, God, it's you. I give you my life, my home, my children. Ben Miller talking about this the other day, and, you know, the world that our children are having to endure right now, parents, do y'all think about that? The world your children are in right now, not if you got smaller children, you're still raising your kids. The world that they're being raised in, all the stuff. I know my mom's told a story when I was born. She was so worried about that. I was born, a few years ago. And I remember that my mom was talking about how she was worried about that and prayed to God and said, Lord, protect my son from what's in this world back then. The drugs, the violence, just whatever was going on in that time period. Just protect him from those things. And I look at the world we live in now, what our kids are facing, and they're at a big disadvantage because there's not a lot of parents, as much as there was in my day or y'all's day, that have a lot of grounding rules, number one, or any spiritual teaching, number two. They don't have a lot of moral values themselves. So they can't pass in, if you don't have any moral value yourself, you sure can't pass it on to your children, can you? And so they're kind of out there like, where's my direction? All my friends at school do this and are bad. I come home, my parents do this and they're bad. I see on TV, all the shows they do it, they're bad. All the music I listen to is all bad. It's a very scary world for our children to be in. And I feel sorry for my children. Kids are amen to me. They understand what I'm saying. They're like, yes, get me out of this world, please. Let the trumpet sound, Lord. I don't want to go through all the preachers talking about right now. With my kid, I got one at college, and not that I'm not worried about her, but, she's stable. She knows what she's doing. My son's 2 years out of high school, and, he's got some transformation still to go through to get to that. And then I got little Ashley, who's still got all her middle school years and high school years ahead. And so I look at my children, I'm like, look at what they're facing. And then you got Amy, you got two little ones, and you got a bunch of little ones, and y'all got little ones still. And it's like, what you got little ones? What are they facing? I'm sending them to school to hear all this and see all this, and there's no respect anymore in schools with teachers and students or teachers. There's no respect there. There's no respect anywhere you go. There's no respect, me and Melinda at Chick-fil-A, and for some folks, this don't bother you. And if it don't, some of you don't bother you, that's fine, but it bothers me. It's not that I'm all that good or all that saintly. It just bothers me. I just don't like it. We were Chick-fil-A eating the other night, about a week ago, me and Melanie. It was after church on Sunday night or Wednesday night. No, it wasn't Sunday night. They're closed. It must have been Wednesday night. We went and just had a little something to eat. and just me and her. And we're sitting there, and there's these young men beside us, probably in their 20s, early 20s. And there's four of them. They're just talking, normal conversation. We could hear them, normal conversation. Yeah, talking about church, and then we start hearing F-bombs and all this right behind that. And I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, that may not mean nothing to you, big deal, big deal. And some of you may think, oh, preacher, get over it. That's how it is. But that's not how I want it. And that's not how it should be. That me and my wife are distracted by the language beside us. They're not mad. They're not, because it's just general conversation. And these words are flying out. And there was a day, you remember, a day in my dad's generation, John's generation, where men would at least respect language in front of women. Men didn't talk dirty in front of women. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, women talk dirty too. I understand. That's a shame. That's a shame that women try to talk like sailors. And I know it's not a big deal to some of you, but I'm sitting there, and I'm at a point, if they keep going, I'm just about ready to stand up, very politely, because I have my preacher tie on, and go over and just say, guys, look, man, me and my wife's trying to talk, and I'm hearing all this language. I mean, really? Where can you respect my wife? You don't care about me, but can you respect my wife? Well, yeah, I know, but that don't mean anything. That don't mean anything. I've had folks cuss in the lobby back here in church. So I mean, yeah, it don't mean anything. But we're in that generation. So our kids are raised up. They're hearing it. And the enemy's attacking. He comes through our mind, through the television, through our music, through schools, through our homes. Spirits are everywhere. Everywhere. You know, your job, you got to be very careful not to bring those spirits home. All stuff you see and what you're around. And, you know, you got to have some, what's that word, some downtime to get blew off where you come home. Because I'm telling you, you can carry it with you. Oh, I'm sure. It's a shame. And that's a normal part of their conversation. Normal. And that's the problem. But Psalm 91, we will talk about what this says, because we need protection from the enemy's attacks. And the only way we will be protected is if we do what verse 1 and 2 says in Psalm 91. 1 and 2 are conditional of the following promises that is promised to us in this chapter. Psalm 91:1. This is the Amplified Version. You can see on the screen, it's not the King James, it's the Amplified Version. Just kind of expands it out a little bit. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. That's a pretty powerful verse. Now the word secret, if you look it up, means covering. It's like a covering, secret place, a covering. Those of us that abide under the covering of God's presence, we allow God to cover us, which means we got to give ourselves to Him. God, cover me. Cover my life, cover my family, cover my home, because the world is after them, and the world's after us. Don't think we're so seasoned, we're so Christianized that the enemy can't cause us to fall and stumble. He can. He can come right into our homes. He can abide the best of marriages. He can downtake the best of Christians if we allow him to. And what happens when the reason he does that is because we get out of the covering of God and we get frustrated. We get discouraged. See, discouragement is not part of our covering. If we're under the covering of God, we won't be discouraged. We'll be encouraged. We won't be depressed if we're under the covering of God. We'll be full of joy. We won't be in fear if we're under the covering of God. We'll be in peace. Let God cover us. Stay in that place God has for you. And everywhere you go, it follows you like a cloud. It's with you. It's not something we take off and put on. It's supposed to be a place we stay. We stay in His presence. We stay under His covering. We dwell. We abide. We live is what that means, in that place of God. That's what we must do, because the world is after us and the enemy is after us. The devil is roaming after us and after our seed. And unless we're under the covering of God, under His protective custody, we are fair game for the enemy. But when we say, God, I give you charge over my life, over my home, over my mind, over my thoughts, over my seed. I give you charge over my life. Everything is yours, God. That's what I give you. Then he says, okay, I got you. I got you. Next verse. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. Who are we trusting? Are we trusting God? Are we trusting ourselves? Are we trusting government? Are we trusting our money? Are we trusting our job? Are we trusting our preacher? What are we trusting? Who are we trusting? It's clear here, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to lean on God, rely on God. God is it. It's God or bust. It's God or nothing. God's able to take care of me if I let him. Just like a parent, I mean, as long as your kid is with you, you can protect him. But if he runs off away from you, you've lost control. You know, if you're in a store, you and Dylan's in a store at Walmart, and he's right there with you, then all of a sudden he takes off and you lose him. He's over another department or over a few aisles. He's out of your protected custody. Somebody can come just pick him right up. You can't see him, can't get to him. He's left his covering. We leave our covering sometimes as Christians. We leave that covering of God, and we let the enemy come in and sow those seeds of doubt or fear or discouragement, and it gets us out of where God wants us to be. Then we are our own. Then we're once again fighting with our own strength instead of letting God fight for us. You know, Moses is a great example of the covering of God, because he led people out of Egypt. He came to a crossing to where the army of Pharaoh was behind him and the Red Sea was in front of him. And he stood there, pinned between two enemies. Two barriers, two obstacles stood between him and freedom. What would he do? What could he do? I mean, it was an impossible situation. God just said, raise your staff, watch this, just trust me. Lean on me right now, I'm your refuge. As Moses stretched forth his rod, God began to do a creative work. And those seas, that sea began to move and go back and forth, and the water began to divide and up on the two sides, and God created dry ground because Moses had nothing to do but trust in God. There was no way out. We should live every moment like there's no way out. Every moment. Like, God, it's you or it's nothing. We can't just use God when it's convenient or when we're in trouble. God ought to be a presence every day. When we go to bed at night, God, you've got my home. There's guards all around me protecting my children while they sleep. All around me. We had a very scary situation. Well, it was a little, not really scary, but it was disrupting. About a week ago, I'm on the couch by 11. I might have told you about 11:30, and I hear sirens outside my house, and there's two deputy sheriffs pull right in front of my house and pull a car over. Blue lights flashing. That's a scary look, them blue lights in midnight. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm looking out the window, and Melanie just went to lay down. So I went and got her. I said, Melanie, two cops, I hear something's going down. I mean, two of them, and I got the guy out. They're handcuffing them. It's right in front of my driveway. Handcuffing them. They get in the car. They pull a rifle out, put it on top of the car, pull out some drugs, look like, the baggies, and put it on the trunk. And, you know, Malin's sitting there saying, as a mother would, my kids are in this home sleeping. And that all that activity is right here in front of our home. Now, understand, we were in no danger. The officer did a great job of getting him handcuffed and getting him in the car. But to think that there is danger like that all around us all the time. What if he got away? What if he ran to my house to try to escape? What if he knocked down my door with that rifle? You know, you think about things like that, and then you think, thank God that, you know, I've got CPI in front of my house. And not the CPI you're thinking about. Christ protected inside. That's pretty good. So that's what I got in my front yard, CPI. And God's always on duty. Can you imagine if we could have that kind of peace to lay down at night and just know God's got this? I'm watching you. I'm watching your children. I'm watching you in bed. I've got 160 Robin Hood on the radar. It's there. I've got you. Because, see, as we stay under that shadow, we give ourselves permission, give God permission to take care of us, to watch us. You know, just like once again, like a child. You tell Trey to do something and he doesn't do it. Well, he didn't do it and he pays a consequence for it. Nothing you can do about it. You're on your own. You chose to do it your way. How's your way working there, buddy? Not too good, huh? Mm-mm. When we choose to do it our way, it don't work out too good. But choosing God's way, he takes care of us. So that's the two promises that things we're supposed to do. Then here comes what God says. For then, after we say he's our refuge, after we abide in his shadow, after we stay in his presence, then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. For then he will cover you with his pinions, under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. Now I love this next part. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. A shield protects. A buckler holds things together. So it says here that his truth and his faithfulness is what protects us and what keeps us together. His truth and his faithfulness. Faithfulness means everlasting faith. Faithfulness means he's constant. He doesn't change. He's not conditional. He's watching us forever, over and over, all the time. He's faithful in his duties to keep us, protect us, love us, forgive us, strengthen us. He's faithful. God is faithful. Though people aren't, God is. It's that truth that we know that sets us free. Abiding in his presence. Next verse, Jeremy. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day. If you could put on special glasses and see the spiritual world around us, whew, be a scary, wouldn't it? It'd be a horror movie like never made of the terror that's going on all around us. If you could see just the faces of people, we only see the outward, but if we could have glasses to see the demons inside them and how they really look, that's what we're battling. We're not battling flesh and blood. We're not battling something we can destroy with a gun or a knife. We're battling things that can only be destroyed by the power of God. Spiritual wickedness, the Bible says, in high places. There's a whole rim going on around us. Whole rim, church, of evil. And the only thing that protects us from that evil is staying in the presence of God. That gives us security. I'm in his protective custody. He's got me. He's not going to let anything happen to me. He's right here beside me. Everywhere that I go, he's there. I'm not out of his sight. That's what God does. Nothing can attack us or destroy us when we're under the shadow of the Almighty. You know what does attack us and try to destroy us? Thoughts. The mental institutions are full of people that one time were sane. And because of wrong thoughts, lies, they begin to break down and believe the lie till it becomes a truth. Until the non-reality becomes a real reality. Until what they feared actually becomes what they are. And they snap. Fear is a tool the enemy uses. And we can feel fear. Make no mistake about it. You know, fear is a real attack of the enemy. But fear is overcome by the love and the peace in Jesus. And there's no fear that can take us over if we allow the presence of God to be primary in our lives. It may come for a season, but then something's going to happen. That delivering power is going to step in and change everything. It can be instant. It can take a period of time. But the fear cannot stay dominant if we're under the shadow of Almighty, because God is peace. And God's peace overshadows fear. God's peace is stronger than fear. Fear takes our mind and makes us imagine things that aren't true. You know, some folks won't do this or do this because of what might happen. And we live a paralyzed life. Some folks won't drive on interstate because of what might happen. Some won't get in a plane because of what might happen. Some may not get on a boat because of what might happen. And we live our lives paralyzed by what might happen, not what has happened. And so the devil exalts that fear, builds it up until we begin to live a crippled life, afraid to really serve God because we're so bound by fear. And the psalmist says here, you don't have to fear what comes at you today. You don't have to be afraid of what comes at you at night. You don't have to worry about the evil plots the enemy is trying to put against your life. Why? Because I'm here. I have got this. I mean, I'm on duty. God's not going to take his eyes off of us. God's not going to let the enemy come in and destroy us. God has called us and sealed us. God has ordained us. We are his seed, covered by his blood. We are his children forevermore. And no harm, no death or destruction can come to those who are in Christ Jesus. The battle's been won. We already are victorious because of what happened at Calvary. We have already won the war because Jesus won the war. Period. Can I get amen tonight? Anybody? Good Lord mercy. Y'all don't want it, church. I'll just close out. We'll go home. Some of y'all need to get this fear out of you now. It looks like or depression or something. I know it's windy. I know it's dark. I know it's cold. But you know what? We're in the house of God. If we're anywhere else, we part like it's 1999, as the old song goes. You are protected by the hand of God. And when you leave here tonight, I want that to be the thing you take with you, that if I stay under his shadow, I'm protected. Everywhere I go, I'm protected. God's got me. Don't mean you don't go through bad seasons and bad storms, but God's going to protect you. God's going to hold you up through it. God's not going to let you fall or be destroyed. He's not let. God is there. What I'm trying to say, he's there. Next verse. No, nor the pestilence that stalketh in darkness, nor destruction and sudden death, that surprise that lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. This is where we need to come again, to such a faith to realize, God, hell and high water may come, but your hand is on me. It will see me through, no matter what mountain stands there or what giant snares at me. You are bigger, you are greater, and you are stronger. And I know, God, as long as I'm under your shadow, nothing can destroy me. You have got me in your arms, God. You are protecting me. You are holding me. You are carrying me. You are directing me. When the enemy comes, you says, no, not this one. Move on. When he comes this way, not that one. Move on. When he comes to the top, you can't touch that. I've got him. We are surrounded almost like a gravitational force with the power of the Holy Spirit, that when the darts fly, they cannot penetrate the ordained and called and justified of God. We are his, and it's time to rise up and be faithful again and really believe God can do anything. Anything, regardless of what we see. You know, we make fun of the Israelites all the time, don't we? Didn't have no faith, man. God did this, God did this. What's God done for you? You still ain't got no faith. I mean, think about that. Some of y'all been healed of sickness or disease, or he restored a marriage, or he saved a child, or he broke an addiction, or he, you know, whatever he did. God gave you a job, whatever he did. Something you knew God's hand was in. Well, God provided, God did this, God did that, God. But we still doubt. We still doubt. I mean, we see the story of David killing Goliath, and David killing a bear with his bare hands, and Samson carrying the gate of Gaza 38 miles up a hill on his back. I mean, this was, you know, and killing all those Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. We see the miracles, tearing down a temple just by holding two pillars and killing thousands of people. We see all these miracles that happened as a reminder to us that, man, I'm God. I'm God. I mean, I know I'm not Barack Obama, but I'm God. I mean, I'm God. You know what I'm saying? I can do anything. I am God, your God, the Lord Almighty. And you are all that I need. He is all that we need, church. Is God. God's the source of all of our lives, our health, our homes, our minds, our money, our family. God wants you to give it all to him and trust him for everything. Stay in that shadow. Stay in his presence. Stay under his wings. Let him cover you. And if you find yourselves uncovered, get back into covering. I mean, if you're out in the battlefield and mortars start flying, you ain't covered, you hit a ditch pretty quick. I'm getting covered. You're on the street and hear guns, you're hitting the floor. I mean, you're getting some covering. We got to react the same way. We find ourselves outside, I'm getting back covered. I'm not staying out here unprotected by God, I want you to take care of me. I've been doing it myself, and that's why it's not working. But God, as I give it to you, really give it to you, and quit taking it back all the time. That's what we do. We keep taking it back all the time, not just giving it to him. I've been there. I know. Because there's so many things I want to do myself, and it never works. And God reminds me, because you're doing it yourself. Let me do it for you. And when I get out of the way and let God be God, he does things I could never do. Trust him with everything. Only a spectator shall be yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High as you witness the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. Now, let's talk about dwelling place for a minute. We know what dwelling means. It means where we live, where we abide, where we dwell. As Christians, where do we really dwell? Do we really dwell in his presence? Or do we dwell everywhere else? Are we wandering around as vagabonds all day, as the scripture says, just wanderers, going from here to here to here, and then come back at some point back to God? Or do we really walk and stay in his presence? Do we dwell there? Or do we visit there? I don't dwell at my parents' home anymore. I visit, but I don't dwell there. I dwell at my home. Where are we dwelling at? Where are we spending our time at? Where's our faith really placed in? Is it in God? Are we dwelling, living, abiding in his presence? Are we trusting God all the time? Or just part of the time? We're coming to a point in our nation, in this world. I feel a great darkness trying to cover the earth. I mean, can't y'all feel the darkness trying to cover the earth? And we're going to need to be in God's presence, church, to survive. Jesus said, even the elect, if it were possible, would be deceived. And there are many people being deceived by a lot of wrong things, a lot of wrong messages, a lot of wrong ways of living, being deceived. When we stop dwelling in the presence of God, we allow the enemy to come in and replace that with himself. And that's a dangerous place to be. Because when we push God out, we let him in. It's just that simple. We got to keep God close to the vest. We need him every single day to watch over us, to watch over our children. Another school shooting happened, we heard, this week in Nevada. I mean, it's crazy of what's happening all around us. It's a scary thing not to be in protective custody of God right now and to be out there on our own. Imagine right now your life without the grace of God in it, where you would be right now if you didn't be here at all. How different your life would be. It's kind of this, the old Christmas movie, Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life. One of my favorite movies, love it. Everybody's seen that movie, right? It's a Wonderful Life. And he talks about, you know, of course, the story about if he wasn't born, what would have been different? If it hadn't, think about that for God's grace. If God's grace hadn't have been there, where would you be? If God's grace hadn't propelled Melanie at 4 or 5 years old to catch a church bus on her own with no direction, no parent influence, just it was just in her to go to church. It's the grace of God directing her. Where would she be if it hadn't been for that? Where would you be without God calling your name? Where would you be right now if a God hadn't walked by and knocked on your heart, knocked on your door? Where would you be? So instead of, you know, if I wasn't born, how'd it be different? How about if he wasn't born? How'd it be different? If we weren't born again, how would it be different? I went back to my home church today. I rode up to Wilkesboro this morning. Just a beautiful morning. I dropped the kids off, and just, I felt like taking a ride. So I rode up to my home church, and I went inside the old church. A guy was there working, and so he let me in. I went in and just was kind of doing some reminiscing a little bit, walking around the sanctuary and stuff, and thinking about how that was where my foundation was spiritually for my life. There's actually plaques with me and Melanie's name on it. We bought pews back in the day, and they put a little gold plaque on the side of the pew if you bought a pew. And so I bought one in honor of Mom and Dad, and their names on it. And they bought one in honor of us, and our names are on one. And actually, I was looking at it, said ours. It said in honor of my kids, James, Melanie, Christian, and Jamie. Actually, wasn't born yet. And it looked funny not having her name on that plaque, you know. So it looked so odd. But I was just walking around thinking about all the good services that we had at that church and all the good years and the good times. And I stood up on the platform there behind the pulpit and thought about all the times I'd preached in that church. And seeing the faces sitting out there. And it just brought back a lot of memories of what was and where we are today. And, you know, even spiritually, even in churches, it has changed so much. It's just changed so much. I know we move forward. We move forward with God. We don't stay in the same place. But there's some things that are not compromisable. And one thing is the Holy Spirit. One thing is the anointing of God. That still don't change. And that's getting less and less in a lot of churches. It's becoming just kind of a routine, kind of fun pep rally. And not a prep rally. Which is what it should be. A prep rally. Prepping us for the Lord. Prepping us to do better. Prepping us to go forward with God. And but anyways, I had real good reflection time and just think about all the years I got saved at that church. I mean, I looked over the little field where the tent was set up where I got saved under and baptized. And it just got married at that altar, me and Melanie. Had all three of my kids dedicated at that altar. I was ordained at that altar as a minister. So just a lot of history there. And my pastor wasn't there. He was down in Mooresville today, but I didn't get to see him. But I don't know why I'm saying all that, to be honest. I think I'm just trying to reflect on, you know, that foundation I had all those years and you know, God being on me and God being with me and then getting me to this moment I'm at now. And how that maybe times have changed, but his hand hasn't never left me. And the world has changed a lot since those years in the 70s and 80s, but God's hand hasn't changed any. And church, we can still feel that presence of God on our lives if we'll allow it. The Holy Spirit is still very active, it's still very real, it's still very powerful. We can still feel our God. He's not died because people have chosen not to want to experience him anymore. And I'm very proud to come out of that church, and I'm proud the message is still going forward. The gospel is still being preached, and the anointing is still being felt, and lives are still being changed. I'm very thankful for that. And anyway, verse 10, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. Isn't that good news? No plague or calamity shall come near your dwelling place if you're under me. See, I see a day coming. Some of us experience this already. And I don't mind sharing this because God's been good to us. Do you realize in some of the worst economical times we have had since we've been here, been alive, you know, from about 2006 or 7 up till now, you know, it's been a really bad time for a lot of people. It was during that terrible time that this church got paid off. It was during that time my wife got out of school and got a job. It was during that time that God blessed us with more income than we'd ever made ever before. During that time. Not coincidence, not good luck. It was provision of God. God showing in the drought, I'll take care of this church. In the drought, I'll take care of your family. In the drought, I'll make sure your bills are paid. In the drought, your gas will always be full. In the drought, you're always going to eat. See, God has shown me through these last 7 or 8 years what his hand provision really has done for us. Almost to the point I'm like, man, God, others are suffering and just don't have much. Why? And God just showing who he is. God just showing that he is the one that blesses. and doesn't want to give that credit to anyone else. It's him that shows up. We see in the book of Jacob, or Joseph, whenever he fed his whole family in Egypt during the famine, how they threw him away to be dead. Then they threw him away to be a slave. And that little pesky brother of theirs that was a slave become the very one that fed them and saved their lives down the road. That's how God works sometimes. So I know this verse very well. Calamity and plagues. How God has kept my home, kept my family, put a hedge about our children, watched over our family. When we didn't even know he was watching, he was. When we didn't know something was about to happen, he did. And he stepped in and watched over us. My wife had a terrible wreck when she was carrying Christian in her womb. Terrible wreck. Bent my Firebird from the nose to the windshield. Hit a T-bone of angle on 45. Boom. Spun her all the way around. Car was completely totaled. Melanie got out, popped out of that. Not a little, maybe a little bit sore in a couple of days, but not a bruise, not a scratch. Walked out of that. Carrying a child. And God even watched over us afterwards because the woman was not a very nice woman. And almost three years later, did sue us for damages. And we were panicking. We're like, God, we had insurance, of course, and they didn't want to pay. I'm like, look, I've been with you all these years. Why am I with you? You got to take care of me. I can't pay. We'll be bankrupt. If I got to pay, we'll be bankrupt. We were in our 20s then, and she was suing us for $100,000. Said, I'd sell everything. And they stepped in, took care of it. She got $50,000 out of the deal. They paid $50,000, my insurance did. And to me, that was God working. I mean, praise God. So I know what it's like to come under attack and harm, but here she is. God let her walk away from that. God took care of us. We didn't lose anything. I was under the shadow of the Almighty, and so was she. It's no greater peace than knowing you're under the shadow of the Almighty. That no matter where you go, what you do, staying with Him, He's got you. The bad times, the good times. The times you don't understand. The times of darkness, the times of loss, He's still there. Larry Graber gave a testimony of an incident he had a few months ago, and how God protected him, watched over him. And a very dangerous thing, protected him. Nothing like that shadow. Next verse. For he shall give his angels charge over you. Isn't that the good news? To accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. He's going to give his angels charge over you. Watch after them. Protect them. Go with them. Don't let them out of your sight. All around us, protecting and watching. Man, you talk about protective custody. That's pretty good news. To know God's got me that close. And that He cares for me. That when I can't watch my kids, He's watching them for me. My wife was driving back to Winston every day for that year on interstate, coming back at night, dark. Just had to trust. Because a husband, you worry about that. You just have to trust God. You got to get her home safe. Watching over her, protecting her, all them trips back and forth. Never had an incident or an accident. He's going to give his angels, that's a promise, to watch over us. See, this whole psalm is talking about putting your faith in God. Really trusting Him. And letting Him be the Lord of your life. You know, a guy told me years ago, said, there's a lot of people that believe that Jesus is their Savior, but not their Lord. And there's a difference in that. There was a really good point. There's some that believe He's a Savior, but not the Lord. You know what Lord means? He's above everything in my life. He's really above everything. He's not just my Savior for salvation. He's my protector. He's my supplier. He's the one that provides for me. He's the one that watches me. He's the one that goes with me. He's the one that does everything for me. He's the Lord of my life, not just my Savior. Thought that was a good point He made. Next verse. I'll get you out of here. I know you're ready to go. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. What is he saying here? They're going to protect you and take care of you. Lest you trip, lest you get hurt, they're there to help you. They're there to hold you. They're there to protect you from harm. They are there. God's presence is there to protect us from harm. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. It's not talking about stepping on snakes. The young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trust, and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him, no, never. It's like Melanie said earlier in her song. He's always there. He's not going to forsake you. You may think God's not there for you right now. You've not failed him in a long time, or you just weigh off. It's not because of God. He's there. He's faithful. Maybe we've drifted, but he's not. It's easy to drift in this world, church. Easy to drift with all the distractions trying to pull us down. Psalm 91 to us should be a charge in this generation. No matter what I see on the news, God's got me. No matter what the financial world does, God take care of me. No matter what happens in the nations, God has me. I believe we're returning again to the days of King Nebuchadnezzar, where the music's going to sound, and if we don't bow, we're in trouble. If we don't bow, we're going to be in trouble. We had better have the strength of the Holy Spirit in our lives to stand against what's coming. Already trying to do a lot of manipulative things to control us now. We better be watchful, and we better be mindful of who we serve. I mean, church, I'm just telling you. We're going to have to get to a point we trust God. I mean, if America panics because the government shuts down, we're not trusting God. Not really. I know God established government, but who's over the government? God. I mean, he's still over supposed to be over the government, right? He is. We start placing our faith in what man does for us, we're in trouble. Place it in God. Place it in God. We're not seeing what's yet to come. I'm telling you. Is that it? Got two more verses, I think. We'll close. He shall call upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a wonderful chapter. And I know you're not excited tonight, and I'm sorry I couldn't get y'all pumped tonight. I just didn't have it, I guess. But I hope that you will leave here with the Word. That's all that matters. It ain't about me. Hopefully you got the Word. And maybe you'll get excited later. Maybe y'all can go home and preach it to each other and get yourself excited. But reread this psalm again, because it's a powerful, powerful psalm, 91, of God's protective custody on our lives. Don't fear what's happening out there. You've got something happening in here. And that's what counts. Church, I wouldn't have any peace. I'm going to tell you, I would have no peace without God in my life. It's hard to have peace with God, much less without him. So have peace. Trust him. Stay under that shadow all the time. Just abide, live there, stay there in his presence. The other day I had my radio, I used to listen to music or talk radio or sports. Or I listen to something a lot, but today I just turned it off and was just talking to God in the car, just kind of talking, meditating, you know, looking at nature and just kind of just, you know, having quiet time. It's amazing how God will speak to you when we shut up. You know, we turn stuff off, he'll speak to us. Kind of hard to hear God over all the garbage sometimes and stuff that we're just always roaring our ears. But it's a great time to be quiet and just let God speak to you. Remind us of who he is. All right. Y'all don't look any better than you did when you came in. I'm really sorry for that. In fact, you look a little worse. Yes. July 5th, what year? 2009. Yeah, that's true for her, boy. Thanks for sharing that. All right. Well, I am glad, I think, that y'all came tonight. And good to see y'all, Luke. It's amazing how you feel that sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, we got to look at that, see what's going on with that thing. It didn't sound quite right. Grandma, are you doing good tonight? Good. You look pretty. I appreciate that. Thank you. I like what you said. You saved it tonight. I listened to it in that quiet, peaceful way. So that's good. I like it. I know you do. I like when you get excited. Well, good. Well, good. I'm glad. Well, good. I'm glad you were here with us. All right. We'll pray over our offering, give you a chance to come. If you have an offering to give tonight, we'll give you a chance to do that. So if you'll stand to your feet. Lord, I pray, I know what your word says, this word will not return void. And I just pray that it spoke to hearts tonight and that this promise of you watching us, protecting us and blessing us and satisfying our mouth with good things and long life and protecting us from harm and danger and evil plagues, all these things you said you would do. If we abide in your presence, and if we say that you are our fortress and our rock, and if we confess you and put you first, God, you will take care of us. And just make us mindful of that, that when we start slipping back out in the world and letting other people influence us and letting fear and doubt and unbelief set in, that we are reminded what your word says. No, it don't belong there. We are under your shadow, God, and wherever your word is and your presence is, we are too. Let us just follow that presence everywhere that you lead us and just trust you. No matter what we see and what we hear and what we face, you know best. And you've got us. God, you've got our back. You're watching us and protecting us, and we thank you for that. Lord, I ask your blessing on this offering tonight, that you use it for your glory, that you bless every hand that sows a seed, and that you just meet the needs of those that give and the needs of this local body here. And we give you praise and honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. If you have something to give, you can do that this time. And I do want you to